for the Word of God. Amen. Today is part two of our series, Why? We're asking big questions. Why are we here? What's the purpose of life? Where did we come from? Where are we going? What happens when we die? We're asking why bad things happen to good people and why good things happen to bad people. And so today we're doing part two. Last week I answered some hard questions and we made an establishment. We established that there has to be a God. And how did we do that? If you missed last week's message, please go online and you can watch it again or hear it again at work or whatever you do. But here are three main points why I said I believe there is a God. The fine-tuning of the universe. The gravity is constant. The laws of thermodynamics. The nuclear laws are constant. If they were a little bit different or if they changed, our planet wouldn't be able to sustain life. Why I said I believe in God? Because of the vastness and how big the universe is. There's about 200 billion galaxies, like our Milky Way galaxy in the universe. Why I believe there is a God? Because of the miracle of the earth. If we were closer to the sun, we would burn. If we were a little further, we would freeze. The moon has its part. Saturn and Jupiter, they act like a vacuum cleaner. So they collect the space junk so it wouldn't hit the earth and destroy us. Asteroids wouldn't destroy us. And the third reason I gave why I believe there is a God, because of DNA code in each and every cell of your body. Did you know that there are 6 billion letters of DNA code in your cells? And it looks like a software. And many atheists have made a decision after studying the DNA code. They said there has to be a super creator. So last week we talked about that there has to be God. Today we're going to look at, if there is a God, who is this God? Did you know that in the world there is thousands of religions? How do you decipher? How do you know who is the true God? In 2014, the studies were done and found that there are 4,200 religions right now in the world. 4,200 religions in the world. Some of those religions have multiple gods. For example, Hinduism has millions of gods. For example, ancient Egypt used to have 2,000 plus gods. So which one is a true God? I don't want to live my life serving a God and then come to heaven someday or die and end up standing in front of a wrong God. You don't want to do that as well, right? You want to know that you are serving the one true God. Otherwise, this doesn't matter. For example, in ancient time, they served Baal, Asherah, Dagon, Astarte, Diana, Zeus, Athena, Apollo, Ra, Amon, Thor, and multiple other famous gods that you know. Some even worship Satan as God. Millions of gods. How do we know? Thousands of religions. How do we know that we are serving the right God? Well, last week we established there has to be a God based on what we see. So today we're going to look at who is the true God, the Creator. I simplified from millions of gods to 5 major religions today in the world. Because when I turned 18, I started asking, if I grew up a Muslim, would I be a Muslim today? If I grew up an atheist, would I be an atheist today? So that's a legitimate question to ask. And so when I started studying different religions, I simplified them to the 5. Because there's thousands of religions, I simplified them to 5, and here are they. 5 world's major religions are Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, Christianity, and Islam. So there's 5 of these. They make up almost 5 billion people in the world. In those 5 religions, almost 5 billion out of 7 billion people. Christianity is right now the biggest religion in the world that claims to be 2.1 billion people. Muslim religion or Islam is second to about 1.5, but Islam is the fastest growing religion right now. And statistically, according to Pew Research, Islam will overtake Christianity in the United States of America by 2050. And by the end of the century, 21st century, Islam will be the biggest religion in the world. It's the fastest growing, not because of the conversions so much, it's the fastest because of childbirth. There's a lot of, Muslims have a lot of babies. And Christianity is dying out because in in Europe, they don't have children. They have dogs, meaning they have more dogs than children. And in Russia, I just read a statistic that kind of came to me, that although Russia would pay thousands of dollars to parents to have an extra child, one more child, the population has started dropping again. It didn't work. The government paying for you to have children didn't work. And so in the United States, second biggest religion by 2050 will be Islam. And then after 2050, it's going to overtake Christianity. That's what they're saying anyway. So we want to know that we are serving the right God. We want to know that we believe what we believe is right. And so that's why I want to talk to you. Let's dissect these five biggest religions, or at least five of these major religions in the world. Let's look at Buddhism. Did you know that in Buddhism, there is no belief in a personal God? Buddhism, the word Buddhist or Buddha means enlightened one. There was a prince who lived in northern India, close to Nepal. His name was Siddhartha Gautama. He was a former prince. He used to live a life of luxury, and then he got bored with it. Just like probably like Moses. Moses got bored with luxury. Luxury will make you bored. And Americans know this more than anybody, because we in America know that luxury will not bring us happiness. In other countries of the world, they haven't had luxury, so they're going for it. And they're like, luxury will make me happy. But we know that it won't. Moses knew that it won't. Abraham knew that it won't. Once you have luxury, it's not what it's and what it promises. It's not satisfactory. Some of you are like, well, I want to try it anyway. Well, go for it. Nobody's here to stop you. But this former prince started, he abandoned all the luxury in the world and all the pleasures that his kingdom had to offer, and went and lived as a beggar. And he wanted to know the meaning of suffering. And after years of searching, it says that he discovered enlightenment. And that's why they call him Buddha. And that's why Buddha never claimed that he was a god. He just said he was enlightened one. Buddhism. And so when I look at Buddhism, and Buddhism seeks to reach the state of nirvana, or to follow the path of Buddha. There's five pillars of Buddhism. You can study that on your own. I've studied that. It didn't really deal with my sin. It didn't really deal with eternity. Buddhism is somehow circular. And so it didn't deal with the major questions that I had. Did I come from? Where am I going? Is there life after death? So I kind of, great Buddhists are nice people, but that's not the God I want to serve. Big fat Buddha is not my God. No disrespect. No disrespect. I respect those people. We're all made in the image of God. Amen. Number two, Hinduism. Hinduism is different. In Hinduism, you have millions of gods. You have millions of gods. Hindus believe in reincarnation. They hold things like cows and rats and different things sacred, and snakes, And so Hinduism, why so many gods, you would think? Millions of gods in Hinduism. Why? Well, here's the answer. Because there's no central book like the Bible. There's no central authority like maybe Quran, or in the Old Testament in Judaism there's the Torah. There's no central authority. So in Buddhism there's no Bible, so anyone can interpret God however they want. So if there was 150 people here in this room, well, there would be 150 different gods. Some of you would have multiple gods. Okay, and so that's what happens in Hinduism. And we're not making fun of it, but if there is no central book, no central revelation that everyone chooses to a God they want or create or whatever. There's multiple gods. However, if there was a God, what would his attributes be? Let me stop here because I went into religions too fast. Let me just show you what the God of the Bible looks like and see if that makes sense. Let's open to Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 through 9. This is 10 commandments. So if you want to know where 10 commandments are, Exodus 20, okay? Then God gave people all these instructions. I am the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. You must, commandment number one, you must not have any other gods but me. So in Hinduism, there's multiple gods. In ancient Egypt, there was multiple gods. In ancient Rome, there was multiple gods. In Greece, there was multiple gods. But if there was a God, go back to that verse. Would he be okay with multiple gods? Let's keep reading. You must not have no other gods. Then he says, you must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affections for any other gods. Let's stop there. Wives, how many of you would tolerate if your husband had other goddesses but you? You would be mad. Parents, if your children decided not to come home one day and drive directly to your neighbor's house and say, these are my parents now, how many of you would get a little jealous? So does jealousy make God bad, or does that make him true? Think about it. Your children, you want them to come to your house. And most of the time, oh, it's grandparents sometimes and friends too, but if they say, you're not my mom, wouldn't you be a little angry or jealous? Wife, if your husband would say, you and somebody else, wouldn't you be a little mad? Husband, if your wife said, well, I like you, but I like somebody else too, wouldn't that create tension in your marriage? So see, God is the same way. If there is a God, and here's, I don't have time to explain this, but if there is a God, he will be jealous. Because everybody else will not be. Now, if you're a fake God, then you're okay with having multiple gods. It's okay, believe in that. Oh, is that how you believe in God? Well, go ahead. But that's not how wives do it. If you believe you like that girl, well, go for it. No. What? I'm going to kill you. What do you want on your tombstone? Honey? Right? So if there is a true God, and I don't have time to explain all the philosophy behind that, but... For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Jealousy proves that there's, might be truth to it, who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. Let's stop there. So Buddhism and Hinduism had too many gods, and I could create my own. And if I were to create my own God as a guy, oh my goodness. Ladies, if you were to create a God, who would he be? I know in a guy, if guy is to create a religion, you know what you should expect a lot of? that thing, a lot of it. And some religions actually do. The worship of God is a lot of that. I'm talking sex and pleasure, okay? Yeah. Hindus believe that a human soul travels through different lifetimes, purifying and growing until it is ready to merge with an infinite God from which it came. Liberation from the cycle of death and rebirth, which is called moksha, is the ultimate goal of Hindu life. When I studied Hinduism, it wasn't for me. I couldn't see the... looking at science, in Hindus, they believe in a circular history. And Christianity is talking about linear history, meaning time goes this way, not in circles. Okay? If the universe was static, like Albert Einstein believed until 1920s, then I could believe that Hindus have the right God. But because we know that the universe had a beginning and it is expanding, it does not make sense to me. Science and Hinduism does not make sense to me. Plus, I don't know. I like eating cows, not worshiping them. No disrespect if you believe differently. Okay. Now, so we eliminated two out of five already for me. Let's look at the three that are kind of complicated. Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Here's the problem about these three. They have so many things in common. Christianity, Judaism, and Islam have the same thing, a lot of things in common. For example, they all worship Abrahamic God. At least that's what they say. They start there. For example, all three religions say that they worship the God who created Adam and Eve. Do you worship the God who created Adam and Eve? Yeah. Do Jews worship the God of Adam and Eve? Yeah. Do Muslims worship the God of Adam and Eve? Yeah. So we're worshiping the same God? Hold on. Don't go there yet. Wait a minute. Before I answer that, I just ask a big question. Before I answer that, why is there so many religions in the world? 4,200 right now. Why is there so many religions in the world? And the answer is simple. Because in your heart, every human being has a hunger for God. Romans chapter 1:19, it says this. Romans 1:19, Paul writes, they know the truth about God. Who? Everybody. They know the truth about God. Who? Everybody. You don't have to be a Christian to know the truth about God. Why? Because he has made it obvious to them. Why are there so many religions in the world? Because everybody is looking for truth. Because everybody somehow knows that there is something more. That there is something out there. Even atheists, I read in Psychology Today that even atheists find themselves praying. And then they catch themselves praying and say, stop, who am I praying to? There is no God. I don't believe. Why am I praying? Because there's a desire. Why is there faith? Why is there so many religion? Because we were built as machines, if you could call us machines, as human beings, with desire for something greater. And I think David explains it the best. He says, King David says, he has placed eternity in our hearts so men would seek him. You cannot look at this world and just say there is no God. Your need for God should point you that there might be a God. For example, I have need for food. I start shaking if I don't eat, right? You have a need for God and something starts happening to you when you don't have that connection with him. That's why we're all seeking. For example, you don't see dogs getting together and worship and build a temple in a doghouse. You don't see birds get together and worship because they don't have that per se ability. It's, unconsciously or subconsciously, maybe they do, but they're not created to. We as human beings, we desire to worship. That's why in Native American faith, they look to the sky, the big man. That's why in every religion, pretty much, we know intuitively somehow that there is a God. And that's what Paul says. Let's put that verse back up. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. Let's keep reading. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities. Notice his invisible. See invisible. That's pretty cool. His eternal power, divine nature, so they have no excuse for not knowing God. But watch this. What happened? Because we're corrupted by sin. Every human being is corrupted by sin from the day we were born. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God. Frank Turek says when he debates atheists in college settings, he says, the first question I ask, if Christianity was true, would you become a Christian? And you know what a lot of atheists say? No, I wouldn't. I don't want anybody ruling over my life. So basically you're saying, that's not intellectually honest though. Because if you're saying you're intellectual, if there is truth at the end of the tunnel, and you still say you would reject it, then it's not the truth that the problem is. It's your heart that doesn't want God. And honestly, guys, if you're honest, on your bad days, we don't want God in our life. Because we want to be our own gods. And we can make a God who can do whatever we tell it to do. And that's what humans have been doing through history. And so I'm just going to leave this. There's a lot of good stuff there. But let's go back to these three main religions. What was the question I asked before I went on this rant? So why not Judaism? Why not Judaism? Technically speaking, the foundation of all these three Abrahamic religions is Judaism. Before Islam, before Christianity, there was the Old Testament. Judaism told us that God, in the beginning, created the heavens and earth. There is no Quran. Quran borrows that from the Bible. Christians, we read the Old Testament. Our faith is built from the roots of the Old Testament. So why not Judaism? It's the first one. They gave us, Jews gave us 10 commandments. Well, God gave Jews 10 commandments. Jews showed us that God is all powerful. He defeated the gods of Egypt. The 10 plagues, parting the Red Sea, manna that they were fed for 40 years, water out of a rock, all these miracles, all these war miracles that they have. Why not Judaism? And here's my answer why I rejected Judaism when I was growing up. When I had the crisis of faith, is because when you read the Old Testament, it points to somebody. Starting from Genesis chapter 3, the seed of a woman will crush the seed of the serpent. Throughout the Old Testament, through the sacrificial system and ceremonial system, you see it pointing somewhere. Actually, every Old Testament book of the Bible points to someone greater. Is coming. So the Bible, pretty much the Old Testament, says this: someone is coming. Get ready. Somebody's coming. Get ready. Somebody's coming. Are you ready? That's what the Old Testament does. And then, so it builds up this great expectation, and then it just stops. It tells you somebody's coming, and then it stops. And then it says, no, he never came. Well, when I read Old Testament, and if you are honest and read the Old Testament, you will see that it points to a person who I believe already came. I believe it points to Jesus, the seed of a woman, not a man, seed of a woman. Amen. The sacrifices, the blood being shed for the forgiveness of the sins, points to Jesus. Isaiah 53 says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Who is that pointing you to? You look at prophecies. A virgin shall have a son. His name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. You look at that, and so when I read the Old Testament, I can't help but see Jesus. So they tell us what he's going to look like, and then when we see him, they say, no. I'm like, that's exactly who you described. Old Testament describes this Messiah, the anointed one. And then when I see him, they say, nope, he's not the one. Even David says he was wounded. He was beaten in the house of his brothers. I mean, 300. Jesus fulfills like 300 plus prophecies of the Old Testament. And I'm like, if it looks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, if it walks like a duck, it has to be a duck. And you say, no, he's not a duck. We're waiting for another duck. Making fun of, but you see why when I looked at, and I'm honest about that, when I looked at Judaism, I said, you tell me about this person who's coming, Messiah, the anointed one. And then when a guy comes and says he is, you reject him. But I just can't help but see. In Judaism, Jesus. The thing about Judaism, though, and why it's not a hostile religion to Christianity, because Jews, Bible says there was a blindfold put over them because of their disbelief. And the reason that happened, and this is weird, I don't understand this, and you might not either, so the time of Gentiles can come. If you read New Testament, Paul explains it very well. He says, Jews were blinded so you can believe. So I can believe. So we can have our sins forgiven. Why? Because sometimes the oldest son is overbearing. So God just has to kind of put him aside and says, now I want to give room to Christianity to grow. Right? But that's not a good explanation. That's a bad one, actually. Just thinking out loud. So it points me to Jesus. If you read the Old Testament, you can't help but see Jesus. That's why I don't think Judaism is the true faith right now. I do believe the Jews will be saved, guys. Bible says they will be saved in one day. And they will look to the one they pierced. That's what the Bible says. They will look to the one they pierced and they will believe in one day. And Paul says all Israel will be saved. They're still God's people. They're just in rebellion against God right now. That's what Jews are. Okay, so we eliminated, three out of five. Now let's go to two, Christianity and Islam. And here's where it gets tricky. Why not Islam? Islam claims to be a 3.0 religion. So they say Judaism is 1.0 religion. They got some stuff right, but not all. Christianity is a 2.0 religion. But we are the final revelation, and you should believe us, okay? So why not Islam? Well, aren't we even worshiping the same God, Pastor Alex? So why not Islam? You should ask that question. You shouldn't just say, oh, you know, because my parents believed it, so I'm going to believe it. No, just wait a second. Just be honest. If your parents were wrong, does that mean you have to be wrong? If you ask a Muslim, they will say that Jews, Christians, and Muslims worship the same God. Is that true? Even Quran says this in chapter 29, verse 46, Quran. Our God and your God is one, and unto him we surrender. If you study Islam, they will tell you that we all worship the same God. But is that true? Well, let's look what Muslims say. For example, if you grew up a Muslim, you probably know this. Muslims will say, we worship God who created Adam and Eve. And you worship the God. So we must worship the same God, right? Hold on. Wait a minute. Second, Muslims will say, we worship the God who rescued Noah and from the flood. Or do we worship God who rescued Noah from the flood? Yeah. Okay, so is that the same God? Hold on. We worship God who promised Abraham the descendants as numerous as the stars. Do we worship God who promised Abraham? Yeah, so what's the problem? Hold on. We worship the God who helped Moses escape from slavery from Egypt. Do we worship the God who helped Moses escape? Yes, so what's the problem? Same God? Hold on. We worship the God, Muslims will say, who gave Virgin Mary the power to conceive Virgin Mary without a man, Jesus. Do we believe that God gave Mary to conceive Jesus? Virgin Mary. Let's not skip that. To conceive Jesus. Yes. So it almost seems like we worship the same God. Wait a minute. As much as Quran wants us to believe that we worship the same God, let me make a declaration, and I want you to remember this. Muslims and Christians do not worship the same God. You're like, what? He just proved to us that we do. Now, we begin worshiping the same God, but that's not where we end up. For example, Christians believe that Jesus is God. Islam, that's blasphemy. Islam does not. For Christians, Jesus is certainly God. And for Muslim, Jesus is certainly not God. Quran says that it's blasphemy to condemn, that condemns Christians to hell if they believe that Jesus is God. But didn't Jesus say that he was God and prove it by dying on a cross and then being resurrected from the dead? So what do we believe? Do we believe Muhammad, who says Jesus is a prophet, great man, born of a virgin? If he's born of a virgin, who is his daddy? That's what I want to ask Muslims. If you're born of a virgin, who's your dad? Who's your daddy? Right? So that's the problem they have to deal with. Okay? But we worship a God who is one and three. Islam believes there's no Trinity. There's no God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So when Paul writes, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, why does he say that? Because how do you know what God Paul is talking about? Today people have many gods. So do you believe in God? Oh yeah. Paul says, here's a test. Is it the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? If they reject that he has a son named Jesus, then we're not worshiping the same God. Do you know Alexander Klimchuk? Yes. Does he have three children? Alex, Abby, and Hadessa? No. He has Johnny and Mary. Oh, that's not the same Alex. Same name, not the same Alexander Klimchuk. You see, so Paul made a distinction. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Muslims say there is only one God and he has no son. Christians say that God is three. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Where do we get that from? It starts in the beginning. In the beginning, God created heavens and the earth, and the earth was empty and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering above the waters. And God said, let there be light. So there's Spirit here on earth. There's God somewhere outside of this, right? And God speaks, Spirit does. John chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. Word is information. In the beginning was information, pure truth, information. And information was with God, and the information was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is the Word? Jesus. So we got God, the Word, and the Spirit. We have the source, the information, and we have the Spirit. Now, how do I know there is one God in three? Because when God was creating human beings, he in Genesis chapter 2, I believe, let us make man in our own image. Who is us? If God is one, and no, you know, and not in relationship, not in communion, then that cancels it out. What do you do with that? The third thing why I don't believe that we worship the same God as Islam, because of the fatherhood of God. Another difference between Islamic God and Christian God is the father in Christian faith. According to Jesus, God is our father. Yet Quran very specifically denies that Allah is the father or has any children. In fact, Quran 5:18 says, the Quran tells Muslims to rebuke Jews and Christians for calling God their loving father, because humans are just things. That's why it's so easy to kill them. Just things. Humans are just things that God created. But then what do you do with Genesis that God created man in his image? How can we be things if we're made in the image of the creator of the universe? Am I helping anybody? Am I just ranting here? So we do not worship the same God. But why does it look like we do? Well, for example, I have this book by Rick Warren, right? Purpose Driven Life. How many of you heard of this book? Yeah, a lot of you read it, right? It's an amazing book. Rick Warren wrote this book. But let's say I do this. I open it, rip half of it out, and write my own and say, it's my book now. And I say, I say, Rick Warren wrote this book? Yeah, maybe he started this book. But the second part, you added to it. Another example. Can I give you another example? If you take a head of a donkey and put it on the elephant, does it make it a donkey still? Or does it make it an elephant? You see, it's a something other. So Islam starts with the God of the Bible. I agree, if you could agree with that. But then it rips out the progression and linear history and linear revelation of God. And then it asserts itself at a point and says, we are the one true religion. And that's when I look at Islam. Can I give you another example? You take a Honda Civic. You cut it in half. You take the Ford Mustang, GTO, I don't know if there's such a thing. You cut it in half, you put them together and say, it's a Mustang. Hold on, you started with, but look, the headlights are Mustang. Look, the engine maybe is Mustang. But if you look at it from this way, it's not a Mustang. It's not a Honda, it's a weird thing. It's a hybrid, weird hybrid. So you see why I believe we don't worship the same God, and you shouldn't either. They're totally different. When I look at Islam and Christianity, Christianity is built on the roots of prophecy of the Old Testament, meaning thousands of years before Jesus was born, over 300 prophecies were pointing to this guy named Jesus. When I look at Islam and I try to find Muhammad in the Old Testament, which they claim their faith is built on as well, I don't see Muhammad in the Old Testament. There is hundreds and maybe even thousands of verses in the Old Testament speaking about Jesus Christ, his life, his birth, where he will be born in Bethlehem, right? How God will protect him and he will go to Egypt for a while, then come back. So the Old Testament is talking about somebody. I don't see Muhammad in the Old Testament. But is that how Islam sees that? No, they have three instances where they claim that you can't see Muhammad in the Old Testament. Can I share them with you? Got a few more minutes. I'm sorry, I'm running a little late. It's that baby dedication. And the worship team singing that verse four times at the end. Although it was awesome, guys. It was awesome. Where am I going? Oh, three Bible verses and New Testament and Old Testament about Muhammad. And see if it makes sense. Compared to hundreds and even thousands to Jesus. So Moses, when he's dying, in Old Testament says, God will send you another out of your brethren. Out of your brothers, he will send you another prophet. You know what Muslims say? He's talking about Muhammad. That's number one. I'm like, I don't know. Everything else points to Jesus. Why would he talk about Muhammad? Verse number two that they take is they say, then the sons of Solomon, it says, the daughter of Jerusalem says, he's altogether lovely. You know what Islam says? That's about Muhammad. Hold on, don't laugh at yet. Because it's connected. Altogether lovely plays on with words, or root word is Muhammad. So they say, see, there's Muhammad. It's talking about romantic love, that he's sexy. That's what she's saying, he's sexy. But because the word sounds or kind of comes from, they say, well, see, Muhammad, you can stretch that one. That's stretching it. But the biggest one is they go to New Testament and they say this. And we are to love Muslim people. I just want you to know that. Love your neighbor as yourself. Even if he's Muslim or Samaritan or gay or straight, whatever. You got to love everybody. This church loves everybody, accepts everybody. We had Muslim people who got baptized, and we have Muslim people who go to this church. So we love you guys. You're welcome here. And the third one they claim is that when Jesus was about to die, he says, it's better for me to leave you, to his 12 disciples. Because if I leave, I will send you another helper, the Holy Spirit, who will be with you forever. And Muslims say, well, see, that's the verse about Muhammad. Muhammad is the helper. Hold on. That's really stretching it. Because it says clearly that it's the Holy Spirit. Is Muhammad the Holy Spirit? And then on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection, they did receive the Holy Spirit. So we know it wasn't Muhammad, because Muhammad came 600 years after the death of Christ, 600 plus years. So when I look at those, when I look at history and the revelation of God through the Old Testament, it points to Jesus. It never points to Muhammad. So when I study these religions, it just continues to point me to Jesus. All the prophecies point me to Jesus. Everything points me to Jesus. When I look at Muhammad, he never said he was God. He actually himself doubted that he was even a true prophet. He said that some of his revelations came from Satan or influenced by Satan. Yeah, it's true. I studied history of Islam more than any other outside of Christianity. I read every possible books and biographies about Muhammad because I wanted to know, what am I talking about? What are we dealing with? Muhammad never created a miracle. Jesus proved his son of God by all the miracles he performed. Walking on water, that's impossible. Raising the dead, Lazarus, that's impossible. Healing the blind, that's, how do you do that? Turning water into wine, multiplying five bread and two fish into feeding 5,000 plus women and children. Muhammad never did that. Jesus said that God is love. Muhammad said that God is angry, violent. Jesus said, go to all the world and spread Christianity by preaching the gospel. Muhammad said, go into all the world and convert people by force. If they don't believe, you put taxes on them or you kill them or behead them. And there were so many beheadings. Muhammad never died, never predicted his death. Jesus predicted his death, died, and rose again. Never to die. The only one. See, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, Lazarus died again. Lazarus lived, then died. When God raised Jesus from the dead, Jesus is never going to die again. Jesus said he was the Son of God who came to take the sin of the world. Muhammad never offered people a way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Islam says, well, maybe there's other ways if you're a good person. Jesus died and paid for my sin, laid his life down. Muhammad never did that. Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his son, Jesus. All the prophecies point to Jesus. So after studying all the religions, not all of them, of course, but after studying many religions and studying many gods, Jesus makes sense. Jesus makes sense. Jesus is the one who is predicted or prophesied through history. And Jesus is the one who says, I'm going to die, and 3 days later, I'm going to be raised and never to die again. And Jesus is the one who says, I can give you eternal life today. Here's the difference between Islam and Christianity. Salvation. In Islam, you don't know if you're saved ever. In Islam, when you die, you will go before God and there will be a weight. And if your good works overweigh the bad works, then hopefully, maybe Allah will be merciful to you. The only way, if you were to be a martyr and kill, you know, blow yourself up, then you'll get maybe 72 virgins. But that's like murky. So, back to Jesus. Back to Jesus. And so when I look at and study and follow through the line of how Jesus, of how God revealed himself to the world, I see Jesus. I see his cross. I see his sacrifice. I see his blood better than the blood of goats and animals and things like that. And I see Jesus who says, today you will be with me in paradise. See, Islam doesn't offer you security. And that's why I believe we're not worshiping the same God. I think they're worshiping false God. I still respect Muslims. I still am to love Muslims. But I do believe they're worshiping the false God. And I hope I have the right to say that. Because we don't believe in the same God. The Bible says today is the day of your salvation. So with Jesus, he offers it today. He offers to forgive you of your sins. He offers you guarantee of eternal life if you confess him as Lord and Savior. Islam does not offer any of that. It's a chance. And so I love being a Christian. Because when I accepted Jesus, I started breathing easier. I don't have to worry about if I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. I'm saved by faith, by grace of God. And so today, I want you, if you maybe wasn't sure about all this, I want you to be confident today that you are worshiping the true God of the universe who revealed himself in Jesus Christ, who showed himself. The God who is the creator of the universe and galaxies came down through Jesus Christ and served us and died for us. Just as sin entered through one man. You weren't there in the Garden of Eden. God's salvation comes through one man, Jesus Christ. So I want you to be confident today. I want you to be confident when you pray. I want you to be confident when you worship. And I want you to be confident when you think, what's going to happen when I die? I know where I'm going. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you.